The Bill Myers Show podcast is sponsored by Clouser Drilling. They've been leading the way in Southern Oregon well drilling for over 50 years. Find out more about them at clouserdrilling.com. Quarter after eight, Dr. Dennis Powers, retired professor of business law. He's working on Veterans Day. How you doing, Doc? Welcome back. Good to have you on.
It's a pleasure, my friend.
All righty. We're going to talk a little bit of fun. We're going to do our history profile first here. Where past meets present. Of course, that's the name of your latest book, available at hellgatepress.com, by the way. And today we're looking in, it's just that time of year. It's a little bit of a palate cleanser. The heyday of Medford football. It's an interesting look back here. I guess really you're going back about 100 years, really, to the real start of the craze, isn't it?
Yeah, that's where we start, and a real connection between Medford and the University of Oregon, even till today. And so it started 100 years ago with Prink Callison, who was the first standout football coach for Medford High, 1923 to 1928. But then he becomes the head football coach later, my friend, at the University of Oregon. He won three straight state championships, didn't lose any, and his victories, Bill, they were like 102-0.
Really?
Roseburg.
Yeah.
94-0.
Were we just that good, that much bigger, or was it one of those things where Prink Callison just was that good of a coach? What do you think?
It was a combination, and we were that good. We had tough kids playing football.
Well, you know, they're out there. They were strong from lifting all those pear boxes, you know, right?
Yeah.
All those pear.
All those different things.
In fact, didn't they call us the pear pickers, you know, in those days because of the...
They did, and before then it was the Tigers, but then in 1928 is actually, Bill, the sports editor for the Oregonian, probably after Medford beat the finalist in the 1928 state championship, mm-hmm. He beat them 39-0. He just said, from out of the south, Medford swept over the field like a black tornado.
So that's where that came from. I always wondered, right? Because we know tornadoes we don't have a bunch of, but that's why. It was that Oregonian guy. Great. Now,
yeah, then we move forward to Bill Bowerman. And he was a left end on those teams. But after World War II, he returned to Medford, where his football teams won actually almost 80% of their games with two teams, including 1939, undefeated. Now, of course, Bowerman then heads back up to Oregon, which is where he had gotten his undergraduate degree, and he became the outstanding track and field coach and then founded Nike with Phil Knight. And Phil, of course, putting in the monies that he has into University of Oregon athletics, now we have the number one team in the nation in collegiate football. But then also, after him, my friend, comes Fred Spiegelberg, and that's Spiegelberg Stadium.
Of course.
And he was an amazing person because he was also a lightweight boxing champion in terms of collegiate Pacific Coast Conference, served in the Army during World War II. But then the Black Tornado wins three state championships, one co-championship, and the last one was in 1977. But, you know, I remember this too, Bill, because on Friday night, Southern Oregon towns, during this time into the 80s and 90s, just jumped with excitement. The season tickets for the Black Tornado were part of divorce settlements.
Really?
And I can remember going to the different games, including North Medford won in 1993. But then Jim Nagel with Ashland. Ashland won the top championships in football in 89, 91, and I remember this one in 1998. And even when we get into 2000, this football was really bringing in listeners and bringing in people to watch the games because we just were that good from a combination of different things. But then Actually, when Medford split in 86, and split it really basically, what was Medford High into two, of course, being north and south, it then became about 1,500 to 1,600 students, my friend, both in south and in north. And then you had the rise of others. But right now, today, 2024, my friend, you have not only North Medford, but South Medford and also Grants Pass High School football being in the state championships, which has just started, and they won their first games.
Is it just me, or are high school sports not as big a part of the community as they once were? And I'm just wondering if this is where you look at where there are more distractions in and more entertainment options in society these days, or is it just because I'm not a sports guy and I don't pay as much attention to it? I'm just talking about the way the culture is these days. What do you think about that?
Well, that's a very good question to pose. What has happened over, let's say, the last 30 years is that to go ahead and get the increased audiences, TV, television, and high school sports have been going ahead and bringing in women athletes and women sports holders, ticket holders, to be spectators. Mm-hmm. And so you have this counterbalancing. And then as teams do well, especially in our small communities, Medford is still relatively small compared to, of course, Los Angeles.
But it probably doesn't hold the imagination the same today as it did back in the days when you're talking about Spiegelberg. Look at what happened with him, his dynasty of 253 wins, 62 losses, 10 ties. That's just awesome. That kind of performance going on.
In terms of the conference, over his 30 years as head coach, he had a total of about 23 conference titles. Mm-hmm. And so it was really pure domination. But then I really believe, and also in talking to some of the old timers here, that the split in 86.
That's what I was wondering about. What happened when you ended up taking that United Medford's front and splitting it north and south? I'm wondering if there were some downsides to that as far as the fan base.
Yeah, there was in that. But on the other hand, when you get into winter, I've really noticed, there's a little bit of a slight downturn in terms of now that's also because of newspapers. We've lost, two of the prime newspapers here to be picked up by a left-leaning internet online being Ashland.News. So you're having a little less, but the coverage, for example, even in the Courier, is there because it is something, though, that still gravitates to people, especially over the divisive politics.
Yeah, that could be. That could be. I think also some of it may have something to do with demographic shifts. And let's face it, as contrasted in the 1920s, 30s, 50s and there, Southern Oregon is a much older community. And I'm talking about the demographics of that are much older than they were.
You don't have as many parents,
relatively speaking, as a percentage-wise, having kids, too.
Well, it's amazing. I guess it depends on where you are. We still have burgeoning classrooms in Medford. And then also...
Because I've been told that enrollment has actually gone down for several years in a row now, even though they keep asking for more money to build more schools.
Yeah, how much of a decline have you been seeing?
Anywhere from 5 to 10%, depending on who you talk to.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. But I think also in terms of the interest, it depends. Of course, here you still have football, you have wrestling, you have some sports.
There are many more ways to distract people, I think, than there were in the 1950s, 60s, 70s even, 70s and 80s.
Oh,
right?
I agree with you. I agree with you on that. But still, parents are raising kids on the other side. And in terms of that, you might see more families now they're going in there, because on a Friday night, it really is kind of a nice thing. I see it quite a bit here in Ashland. I don't go as much to the Medford games as I used to.
Mm-hmm.
It also depends in terms of the states on a national perspective, my friend, because wrestling, for example, in Pennsylvania is something where you get 10,000 people watching. I was at a wrestling match, as a matter of fact, where the SOU president was on Friday night. And they had more people there in students than adults than I remember about 3 or 4 years ago. Of course, we had COVID-19 that was coming in that was, you know, forcing things. But I really like the fact that we still have these types of diversions out there. And also in terms of family values and parents with kids, and also grandparents watching over their grandchildren.
Kind of curious if now that college sports guys and gals can get paid for it, you know, actually get paid. Do you think that will end up? I mean, I agree with it, but on one hand, I think the so-called innocence of non-professional sports, that's kind of going away at that higher level. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, I do agree. And the reason is that when you look at very successful coaches like Nick Saban at Alabama, who's now a sportscaster, and you listen to others, and also, you know, in terms of just thinking that if I was on a football team, of course, I could tell you a quick one there, because when I was in high school, the coach said, "Hey, Dennis, you should just go ahead and come out for the football team because you seem to be quick."
Yeah.
And I said, "Well, what happens if I'm in the backfield with those big guys?" He says, "Don't worry about it." I says, "Yeah, but what if they catch me?"
Exactly, exactly. Well, the point being, though, is that, you know, a lot of the, you know, you think about it, I looked at the way, especially college sports, has been done for a long, long time.
Oh, agreed.
In which, you know, you'd have these people, well, even look at Bellotti. Bellotti, just his PERS is $500,000 a year, roughly speaking. Just his PERS, right? So he was making money. Everybody was making big money except the actual people who were producing the, you know, the games themselves, the players, you know? So I can...
And your point, Bill, is very well taken in terms of student-athletes, to where one person whom you're supposed to block for, or you're supposed to go ahead and open up, you know, for a running type of play, it really is to see them getting paid, you know, in terms of endorsements. That really is something I'm not in favor of. And then also, if you look at the Incredibles, you're pointing out so
yeah, but it was due to happen because of the millions upon millions of dollars flowing into those sports. There's no way you're going to keep it away from them after a while.
I think, Bill, that's part of it, and I would join you in saying there's another factor that's coming in, because it's a real far left Democratic type of thing that moves away from amateurism. And it is one of those things that really was pushed underneath the Biden and Obama administration.
That's a very good point. Thanks for making that, Doc. I'll tell you what, let's thank you for the palate cleanse, and then we'll return, and let's get back into, well, a really good political week overall. Okay? We'll kick that all
Sounds
around.
Sounds like a winner.
Coming up, this is the Bill Myers Show. And where past meets present continues, we'll go to the present with Dr. Powers next.
At Pressure Point Roofing, your
home. Roofingservices.com.
831, I'd add this particular segment, portion of Where Past Meets Present, sponsored by Valley View Nursery, your only nursery here in Southern Oregon with online pricing. Visit valleyviewnursery.com. Closer than you think. Dr. Powers, you know one thing I don't hear enough of when it comes to credit for Trump's win? You know who that would be?
I'm waiting.
Okay. I'm just wondering if you had a guess on this one. Maybe I should have prefaced that. But
oh, that's okay.
I think if there is one person who may have had more to do with a successful election last week than one might think, it would have been Vivek Ramaswamy. You know why?
Yeah, go ahead. Why?
Because he's the one that convinced President Trump, after he ended up losing in the primary, to replace Rona McDaniel, remember? Rona McDaniel, the Mitt Romney relative, as RNC chair?
Yep.
And that was a big, big deal, because the way I'm looking at this thing is that if McDaniel had still been running the RNC, it would have been working like it did last time, because the cheat and the steal the attempts were still being made in this election process. It's not like the Democrats, the cheaters, went home and say, oh, we're going to do everything. There were hundreds of incidents in which Republicans were not allowed to go in and observe elections. It happened all over the country. We had all sorts of things happen during the election hinky week, okay? It still happened. But the difference is that you had Lara Trump and others that had all these attorneys on speed dial, hundreds of attorneys on speed dial, and they were ready for it this time. Rona McDaniel would have been flat-footed again. Didn't really want to stop the steal, in my opinion. And Vivek Ramaswamy really did that and did a great job in convincing Trump to make a head change over at the RNC. That's what I thought, at least.
Well, I like that approach. Also, I would add Elon Musk coming in with $100 million.
Agreed.
And I would also come in with the fact that the Democratic Party, which has been infected, by the activist far-left virus in terms of wokeness, in terms of, men being in women's sports, that really hit underneath all this current.
And speaking of which, I want to play that clip from CNN. Did you hear this CNN clip over the weekend in which they were arguing when one of them talked about boys and girls sports?
There are a lot of families out there who don't believe boys should play girls sports.
They're not boys. I'm not going to listen to transphobia at this table. I am not going to listen to you call a trans girl a boy.
Are you going to allow me to finish my...
I'm not going to listen to you. I'm not going to listen to this transphobia thing. It's like they've learned nothing, Doc. It's like they learned nothing. Team Chaos was not popular this time around. And it wasn't about racism. It wasn't about this. It's because Team Chaos, people don't want Team Chaos. They're done with that. And inflation matters.
Yeah, that's very true, and you're absolutely right. What we also found out in terms of why they don't get it is that it's not only about the fact of this infection by the radical far left on that point and a number of different points that affected individual families, including being shadowed at Board of Education meetings by the FBI, numbers of these. But it also was the fact that if you follow the money, which this really surprised me, which is why all these same agencies, CNN, et cetera, are still doing the same thing in terms of doubling down and saying Trump is evil. And I decided to follow the money. And for example, one of the things that really stood out to me is, well, let's look at George Stephanopoulos for ABC World. He gets $15 million a year on a $65 million contract.
Wow.
You go ahead in terms of Cooper Anderson, and this shocked me.
So what an Anderson Cooper, what does he make for ratings losing performance? What does he make?
$20 million a year. 20.
Wow. And to lose? And still, you make $20 million to lose your time slot? Really?
Absolutely, because the people, there's two reasons there. One is the fact that they just continue on damaging the rest of this country, but they're paid so much, they'll never change their tune.
I'm kind of curious. I mean, how do these networks afford to do this kind of behavior? Is there still enough advertising coming in that they're able to make it happen? Or is George Soros funneling money to some of the left-wing networks just to continue to, well, I'll help you subsidize your money-losing operations? You wonder sometimes. I mean, I know Fox makes money.
It is the latter. That's an excellent point, because if you take a look, this administration, and especially over Obama, was propping up these newspapers, because the advertising that can be put in, not only for political reasons, but also just in terms of seemingly neutral reasons, props up the Washington Post, props up the New York Times, props up all these other places. And this is part of this quote-unquote industrial complex that has been corrupted by the far left.
Isn't it interesting?
It's amazing.
Isn't it interesting that celebrities, of course, were persuaded by this too? The news broke over the weekend that for Oprah to get involved with the Harris campaign,
It's about $1 million. Now, I'm not saying that there was necessarily a direct payment of $1 million, but there was $1 million in that whole spiel of getting Oprah involved.
And Bill, this is a good point to bring up because it's been this way for decades. It goes all the way back when Oprah, we thought is for racist reasons, wasn't going to allow the female Alaskan vice president candidate to come onto her show. She was paid for that. And what we're seeing is if you follow the money, you'll see why all of us have got to continue the fight. In 2016, I had actually forgotten this, Bill. So I had to look it up this morning, that when you came into what had happened then, you had a total of 240 House seats, actually 241 House seats that the Republicans had coming in with Trump, and you also had 54 Senate seats coming in with Trump.
Now, it's actually, is it 54 now, or I thought it was 53 last time I heard. Did it increase?
Oh, it's 53 now. And
okay.
On the specifics,
right.
They're still waiting for one or two. But my point, though, you know, in terms of a corollary, is that in 2016, they had more as the Republican Party. And look what happened and Trump won. So I said, why? Well, let's take a look at Gavin Newsom. I did not know this. Gavin Newsom with California brought over 100 lawsuits against the Trump and Trump administration after the election in 2016.
Do you think anything's going to be? Do you think anything's going to be different this time?
No, it might be underground, and it might be, and it's not going to be transparent. I mean, I love this stuff of now after everything we saw with Harris Biden, they're going ahead and honoring veterans when. You know, Harris couldn't even go ahead to anything that had to do with the veterans.
Well, I know that Dan Rayfield, who is going to be the new attorney general, is on the record. He was saying that he's going to be out doing everything possible to fight the Trump administration. And I didn't realize that the attorney general's office in Oregon was elected to fight the sitting president if you don't like their party. I didn't realize that was it.
And so is the California AG.
Mm-hmm.
And they also have an adjunct for a California Justice Department. They're going to do the same thing. And the difference now is that we have this lawfare that's sitting there with these four different lawsuits, and it's going to take a little time for these to unwind. You have also Juan Merchan, if you will.
That's what I was going to ask you. What do you think are all the lawsuits pretty much going to unwind and go away? The rumor has it Jack Smith is going to quit, though, before the before the Trump administration comes in, so he won't be fired, apparently.
Yeah, that's true. But what's happening now is that especially if you go into, New York with Hochul or the Democratic governor and Letitia James, who's the attorney general with their unconstitutional approach towards trying to kill the candidate while they're waiting for an assassin's rifle. I mean, this is Nicaragua. This is still it.
So the war is still on.
I understand this.
Speaking of which, I wanted to play. Did you hear Letitia James when she was talking about that day after election?
So here we are. We studied their platforms. We've identified certain possibilities, fact patterns. We've created contingency plans. So no matter what the next administration throws at us, we're ready. We're ready to respond to their attacks. We're ready to respond to any attempts to cut or eliminate any funding to the great state of New York, as the governor outlined.
Yeah, and that's exactly right, because this is the tip of the iceberg. This is also what we're seeing is now the 2028 election is now being maneuvered for.
It's being litigated right now by through litigation.
And you see, the other thing about the litigation, Bill, is that right now there are negotiations going on. Letitia James is going ahead and has been contacted, by someone from the Trump a committee, and is saying, well, now, if I decide to go this, you know, Marchand is going to go ahead and on November 26th, 2 days before Thanksgiving, he's going to sentence him. So what do you want to give us if we give up for that? This is a fight, and all of the listeners need to know, keep the contributions, keep going to the meetings. It's not win. We're not in as good a position as we were in 2016, and all this window dressing that's going on is the wokeness will continue.
Okay. The one thing where I think we are in better shape on
is Trump.
Is Trump, yeah. And in Trump this time, in fact, I would dare say that in some ways, even though it was so hard for the country, there will probably be I think there's going to be a better Trump with Trump 2.0, because I don't think he's going to be caught quite as flat-footed on the personnel, because he had a lot of bad people who were really swampsters that were in his first deal. And he had to fire a lot of these people, and trying to get people that were truly going to support that agenda and back him up on things, that wasn't happening in Trump 1.0. Do you agree?
Yes, totally. I think that's an excellent point, that Trump 2.0 is going to be better than Trump 1.0, because there was naivete that was shown all throughout then. But the key thing is that we have a little less this year than we did in 2016, and so the fight continues. You know, stand up for your neighbors. I mean, I have a neighbor here who I love this. I'll just share this with you, Bill, and I want to listen about yours. I have a neighbor here that went up and down the block, you know, saying, vote for Harris. You've got to do it. And had signs up. And even after the election, he still has the signs up. And he is trying to show, but of course, no one here in the block on both sides and even heading down, you know, we're supporting him. And so in an act of defiance, and of course, he doesn't care to a certain extent, because he's now looking elsewhere to another state. But the whole thing is that this is the reaction from the diehards, and they haven't given up.
No, and they have not. I know down, you know, we had a bunch of Harris signs down on Leonard, not too many on my particular block, you know, as it were. But like I mentioned before, I don't know if you had listened to the show last week, but I had mentioned how, you know, it's kind of funny. You can always sort of tell the Harris Biden, or not the Harris Harris Walls one, because you'll appreciate this one. If there was the electric smart, if there was the smart car out front and the tricycle, the adult tricycle and things, you can almost say automatic. Yeah, that's the Harris sign, right? If there's a big 4x4 out front, that you knew that was a Trump voter. You know, it's pretty interesting how that works out.
Well, you know, here in downtown Ashland, my friend, it's one of since we've been here this long, it's who keeps out putting out the signs.
Yeah,
you know, for the far left city council. Interesting also is that we used to have a couple that put out American flags, but I know something happened, because the American flags are not now, you know, being put out even on.
Well, you know, that's hate speech now, isn't it? You know, in Ashland.
Oh, something has got to be done to rein in this lack of this anti-Americanism, like at Columbia.
Yeah, it's going to be
anti-American.
It's going to be really interesting 2025. That's for sure. I mean, right now we're kind of in the calm before the storm. As dramatic as everything was last week, I think it's the calm before the storm, and more likely than not, the reason why it's so calm at the moment and we're just hearing about craziness is that I think even the far left is just exhausted right now as they're in their circular firing squad. What do you think? I'll give you the final word.
You know, I think that's an excellent point, and I think it's also the great disappointment, because they really felt they had it, but they forgot that all of these, the silent majority, if you will, we were so fed up with the wokeness, the biasness, of men playing in women's support, in women's sports. And, you know, Bill, part of the problem is that even moderate, if you can find one, Democrats are saying they would love to be able to say that they have, for example, two young daughters. They'd love to be able to say that they do not want to have men playing in the sports that their girls are going to be growing into.
You know, and on top of that, they don't want that school, whether it be the high school, junior high, or college, encouraging them to go trans. You know, come on. You know, stop
it. That's exactly right.
You know?
But you see, the far left that has been infiltrated and the virus that's in there, along with this incredible money that's being made by Joy Behar and, for example, CNN, MSNBC, you go through every single one of them, they're getting multi-millions. They're not going to change their tune. It's time for us to keep standing. We got the chance to really take this country back. We got to continue.
All right. Dr. Powers, where past meets present here, 847 at KMED. And by the way, caller, did you want to talk with Dr. Powers briefly? I don't know. Were you here for that or not?
I did, please. This is David in Phoenix.
Hey, David, how you doing?
Good. I just want to ask Dr. Powers. First, I tell him I enjoy his, I guess I can. I enjoy your book about past and present and history. Thanks for doing that.
Well, thank you. Profits went to nonprofits.
Okay.
But that's great. A question. Now that we're in this situation, how do you feel about the top 10 woke companies? I'm thinking locally, number 7, Costco, and number 3, Amazon Prime, about us just saying we're not doing that anymore and giving them our money and to hit them where it hurts. How do you feel about that?
And I'll share this, of course, with Bill. That's an excellent point. Excellent, because part of the corruption was the way that, the far left has gone ahead and leaned on companies like with Bud Light, and they were shocked, and Target in terms of gay costumes for kids. I agree with you, and this should be a shout-out against companies that don't reflect the will of the people. Excellent point.
All right. Thank you for the call, David. Let me go to line 3. Hello, line 3. You're on with Dr. Powers. Who's this?
Hello, this is Tom here. I'd like to ask you both a phenomenon that everyone acknowledges for some time, and that's this question is, why do you think the big cities are so democratic? What is it about big cities and Democratic Party that's, why is that happening? Hmm. And I'll take the answer on the air.
Oh, okay.
Bill? You know, urban versus rural, go for it.
Well, I would think that part of it is a very dense urban environment is very interconnected in the first place. I think that the nature of a crowded city is more conducive to collectivism. I think that's part of it. What do you think?
Good point. That's excellent. And we see it in Portland over the time. We've seen it in other ones. And the other thing, too, is that with the influx of illegal immigrants, which has not just been for these past 4 years, is the fact that they come into the large cities where you have the abilities to do it. And then, as you're pointing out so well, the concentration is something where you'll be more concerned about car exhaust.
Yeah, and services. So you know, when your rat's in a cage, even if it's a very pleasant cage, you're very concerned to make sure that the rat keeper keeps you well fed and keeps the cat away. So I think that that may have something to do with it. While on the other hand, if you're in a more spread out kind of lifestyle, I think you're more conducive to. I don't need someone to handle the rat. I will shoot the cat or the rat when they come onto my property. I think there may be a little something there, a little more independent.
Bill, why I think is the reason why you haven't been stolen away. One of the several reasons why you haven't been stolen away to go to the Big Apple or to other places, because there's no question that you have run one of the best shows and the best show that I've been around for all of my years.
That's very kind of you. Now, the problem is, though, is that if I was brought to a national show, I would have to I don't think I could be as truthful. I think it just kind of comes to the natural.
You'd be with Sean Hannity.
Yeah. Oh, well, not that he's. Well, you know, it's not about truth as much as it is that it's almost like what you will never talk about when you're a national host, because you'll have your consultants and then everybody else. And it's just like, you can't say that on the. You know, here we're a little more able to just, you know, we're a small town, and but still. Small good town, point. Big reach, but thanks, Doc. We'll talk next Monday, okay? All right.
Take care.
Be well.
You and Linda.
All right. It's 8:52.
Life's busy. And
give Bill a shout at 541-770-5633. 770
KMED.
It's 8:54. Don't have a lot of open phone time here. We'll have a bit more on Pebble in Your Shoe Tuesday. Also talk with L.A. Marzulli, because there's going to be a UFO meeting in Congress this week. Yep, they're going to be getting into the UAPs, Unidentified Aerial Phenomenon. They don't call it UFOs anymore. But I'll be curious if they're going to be truthful about that. All right. Price of gold this morning, $26.14. Dropped a little bit, couple percent down this morning. You know, that just about pays the premium for buying gold right now, and it could save you some money. It's great to be able to buy on a little bit of a pullback. I'm still bullish on gold, not because I'm a gold bug, but because I'm kind of like where Bank of America is. I was looking at this post. This was a Jerusalem Post article that I was reading last week, and I printed it out because it talks about one of the reasons why you want to talk with Jay Austin & Company, gold and silver buyers in Ashland, 1632 Ashland Street. Street in Ashland, rather, and 6th and G in downtown Grants Pass, 482-3715, fortunereserve.com. And the reason for this, Bank of America puts out in the Jerusalem Post a stark assessment. Gold is the last safe haven amid rising U.S. national debt. Even though the markets, they're admitting that the markets have just been going crazy right now. Just the speculation going crazy and the stock market, of course, doing very well, you know, this morning. But Bank of America's analysts are painting a troubling picture of the U.S. fiscal situation. National debt recently surpassed $35.7 trillion, projected to reach unprecedented levels over the next 3 years. The trajectory has altered the traditional relationship between gold and macroeconomic factors, such as interest rates, making the metal increasingly attractive to investors seeking stability. Yeah, that's about it. It's wealth preservation. We're not talking about you invest in gold because you hope it'll go to 4,000. You're hoping that you're able to, you know, preserve wealth for the future in here. And when you have the big boys that are looking at that and the central banks buying it, because even though everyone's really happy that the stock market's going up, it's not exactly stable. And it does. And that's not saying you wouldn't want to have stocks either. But just saying that this is the purpose of gold. And when I see you pull back a little bit, it might be worth a buying opportunity when that happens. Jay Austin & Company, gold and silver buyers, Ashland, 1632 Ashland Street in Ashland, 6th and G in downtown Grants Pass. It's about that safety net kind of thing, the just in case. And Lord knows, I hope that there's no need for the safety net, but there's a lot, and there's not push from either party to really rein in the spending. And I don't know if they could because of the forces outside their control, but we'll see.